The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's World Daily. It is Andy Walsh having a really long sigh, literally before we went up there. Man, this would be a great show. Dan Wong's here. Craig Forrest, he's here. I'm James Sharman. Dubsy, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Yeah. That was a Jimmy Brennan-esque sigh.
I know, but the difference is I won't continue doing that over the course of the show.
Right.
Before every answer.
And Sharms, can you call me my... Sharms, can you call me what you've been calling me lately? It's starting to stick for me. Yes, I like that. I like the fact,
Wongville,
like that I'm a Netflix show.
It's true,
Danielle Wongerton. It's like, you know, the cutting away to all the celebrities in the crowd at the World Cup. And there's a well-known podcaster, Danielle Wongerton.
I like that.
In a corset.
It's really odd and disturbing.
Where's all that flesh coming from?
Craig, it's bursting out the seams. Craig, you've done 7 matches in the World Cup. And in every match, I'm sure at some point they cut away to a celebrity in the crowd. Now, you guys must be given a heads up ahead of time. They'll be doing that, right? Or are you expected to have some amazing pop culture references ready to go?
Yes. They give you a list of like 15 different people that they might show. And then when you're doing it, they're supposed to give you the heads up.
Okay.
Not so much for me, but for the commentator. So he has a little something as opposed to just saying, hey, there's Eddie Vedder watching the game. Isn't that wonderful? You know, to have something a little bit more about them. So, okay. But he wasn't getting the heads up all the time, David. So it would just be like, oh, there's Gianni Infantino. Oh.
Sitting beside Princess Diana, but no one mentioned that because no one told him.
No, Anthony Gordon was on the pitch.
I have to say, every time they went to Gianni Infantino, he always had his entourage of other CONCACAF, like Victor Montagliani was there. There's always some, but they're all wearing like men in black suits. Mm. And I'm sitting there going, it is 34 degrees out and they must be swimming in these like wonderful silk suits, but still like fully black tie. Hey, you got to come in looking like a professional. And that would tire me out as one of the entourage.
And if they want to repair their image, they need to start wearing more casual clothes, don't you think? Maybe a golf shirt.
I do. It's pretty stringent. The dress code is stringent.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them look approachable, is my point.
Yeah, it's precisely. Like, a man in a black suit is not approachable.
No,
he's either
carrying your casket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A funeral, or he's some CIA operative.
Mm-hmm.
Or a snooker player.
Or a snooker.
Right.
I don't know what's worse. But, you know, I think there's a certain amount of it, though, that they want to keep people at arm's length.
Ooh.
Like, we're up here, you're down here. Look at us.
Yeah. It's like Trump's chair at the meetings with the G7, and he had to be a little bit higher than everyone else. A bit like that, right?
Yeah, that's small penis, though.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah. Or a diaper.
It's a different type of affliction, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 2 games today. Let's say 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern. So later games today. England, Norway at 5 o'clock. Argentina, Switzerland at 9 o'clock. We'll get to these later in the show, but let's start with this Spain-Belgium match from yesterday. Spain found a way again. Not amazingly attractive to the eye, but if you can just appreciate possession football and how to retain a ball, Dubs, Spain have it down. I mean, that was just played in one half of the pitch. And did Belgium pull in Morocco? Did they take defensive stands too far, or was that a bit unfair on them?
No, I think that's a bit unfair to them. Remember, they lost Onana pretty early versus the US. That was a big miss. And then to lose Tielemans to a hamstring in warm-up was also a big loss. So I think you might have already been conceding the midfield to Spain, but to have those two unavailable was a big loss. But I think, you know, for them to score, to Catalar again, a brilliant header against the run of play versus Simon, I think that like that's the first goal they conceded in the World Cup. So like hats off to them, and where they had to kind of weather the storm of the first half, they knew what to expect. And I think you're seeing Lamine Yamal round into form. You know, we haven't seen him at his best so far this tournament. I think Pedri not starting was a surprise to me for Spain. But the way that they attack, I think Olmo, and when he pulls on a Spain kit, is just a different player entirely. He's incredible.
So weird.
Yeah. And I mean, we can get into the errors and the rebounds conceded first of all by Courtois, and then he leaves the game. And I think you saw in the way that Belgium was managed over the course of the tournament, where they didn't look very good at all. And then they obviously had that incredible comeback versus Senegal, and Forrest, you can lean into that entirely. And then also the goalkeeping, and then the error, which is what it was, you know, the Manchester United goalkeeper in Lemons to spill that, like that's an error. Courtois, you could argue maybe that's a really great shot by Olmo, and he does well to just get in front of it because it's through traffic and he maybe catches sight of it a little bit later. But I think two goals maybe that could have been avoided. But yes, Spain are looking very much now like the contenders we all thought they were starting in this tournament. But to your question about Belgium, I thought they kind of figured them out, if that's fair to say. Maybe that's too big of a stretch there, because I think Spain always looked like the dominant side. But Belgium, I think, gave it a go more so than Morocco versus France, if we're going to compare those two matches. I don't know how you feel about it, Forrest.
Yeah, I think so. I think Belgium did a very good job of, and they ran out of ideas. Spain a little bit, obviously had lots of possession, but, you know, kept them to, you know, minimal great opportunities, if you like. But I fell for the goalkeeper and the whole Courtois situation, because Here's somebody who hasn't played a minute in the tournament, and then all of a sudden gets thrown into this really difficult situation with, you're now tied, you're coming on and with 20 minutes left, and he gets the worst possible shot from distance, hit with pace, bouncing in front of him, wasn't far enough to push it away. It was into his body. He had to gather it, and he didn't. But it's the first really good thing he sees. Yeah. And I, you know, a lot of criticism, and rightly so, I suppose, to a certain extent. But he's not ready, and you've been sitting on the bench for all tournament plus this for an hour and a half. You haven't done anything, and you get thrown into a really difficult position that I think that he holds if he starts the game and he sees the ball easier. Depth perception is a big problem when you come on like that. It's really, really difficult. And I feel for him, because it's just the worst situation that he didn't expect to be in. And he ends up making a mistake that gets Belgium knocked out.
Craig, you know when you see pitchers warm up in baseball, field goal kickers in gridiron football, do they do that? Are you afforded that like 2-3 minute opportunity on the sideline when you're a keeper going in? Like, is someone smashing balls at you so you can at least get your timing or get just, or, you know, that kind of warm up? Or do you just have to run in and that's the ball? The first ball, is that the first ball he's catching or mishandling is because he's not really prepared at all?
Yeah, no, you don't really get a chance to do that. Certainly nothing major. I mean, you might be able to get a few from 5 or 6 yards away just to get your handling in a little bit. But other than that, no, you're just basically thrown in. Mm. You don't have much time at all.
You don't see the goalkeepers often warming up with the outfield players on the sidelines, do you? Maybe they should.
Yeah.
Stay loose.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, there's an argument for that where you know, expect the unexpected, if you like.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
Wong is pointing at the back of his shirt to show his name right now. Just
just because it reminds me of Craig Forrest and his only night going out as a professional. And then the next day, having to go on and in him seeing three balls in the air and not grabbing the right one.
Yeah,
that's right.
What was it with Mike Stab?
Maybe he went out for a bevy the night before. I'm not going to play. I haven't played a minute. What are the chances? I'm not even going to warm up and stretch the hamstrings.
Shaka, what are you doing?
Shaka, you got to go on. I went out last night.
Can you imagine?
Big man, I have nothing. I've done my hammy.
Yeah.
Shaq is lying on the injury on the sideline on like a table, right, Craig?
Yeah, on the training table, right?
On training table.
He's on the treatment bench, yeah.
Craig's booze breath going, dude, get back in there. I need you to get back in there.
Yeah, they didn't get a shot. They didn't get a shot of Coach Juan Lemons, did they? Like hanging over top of Coach Juan. Tebow. Let's have a word.
I want to ask, though. Sorry.
Go ahead, sorry, Dubs.
Just about Courtois coming out for us, because he indicated post game or alluded to the fact that Garcia, who can be impulsive in the way that he manages the team, elected to pull him off the pitch. And he's gone with different players. And he's like, players need to be 100% healthy or as close to it in this World Cup. It's kind of been his MO in the way that he's operated. But Courtois indicated that even though he like kind of went down to the pitch, I was like, is this tactical? Turns out it's not. He comes off. He indicated maybe he could have stayed on and been okay to see out the match. And then Garcia kind of pulls a trigger on it and puts the 24-year-old Lemons in. So like, what would be your feeling there as Courtois? It's probably your last World Cup match and the manager is electing to sub you off when you were maybe okay to continue.
Well, I mean, that's down to communication. I mean, if Courtois was confident enough to continue, I would have thought that he would have stuck with him. I mean, what's the point of doing that? I mean, yeah, he's not 100%, but that seems strange that there wasn't communication in the way that he was going to continue.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Garcia's confidence in Courtois had been tested with that goal that he gave up, which wasn't as bad as Lemens, right? But there was it wasn't great either. Unlike Courtois, seeing him leave the pitch though in a little bit of tears. It wasn't like you know, Portugal Ronaldo tears, but it was tears nonetheless. He realized that's it. That's my World Cup journey over with. It's tough to see because he's not. I don't think Courtois is the most emotional of guys, generally speaking. He can be a bit testy at times, but he's not one you'd expect to see crying, I don't think. Or can I now envision? Now think about it. Can I envision Courtois crying while at Chelsea or something? Maybe. Someone let me know. We've got numerous Chelsea fans out there, actually.
Yeah, Kerry, Asa, let us know.
Remind me. It was in Champions League maybe or something. I've got a vision now of Courtois crying. And maybe it's just being created in my head now. I haven't seen that.
Here's the other thing, Sharms. We're doing a shout out to Kerry and Asa because they're Chelsea fans. I don't even know my kids' birthdays sometimes. And now I know the Footy Prime supporters and Asa Roman's favorite Prem team. I think I'm getting involved in soccer, just so you guys know.
Do you know if I ask you right now, do you know what your daughter's birthdays are?
Yeah, I do. 6, 7, 8. So that's Chloe's because it's an easy one because 6, 7. It's 2006, the 7th month, the 8th day. and Lila's is December 17th. Yeah.
Okay. So
I know that.
I have a tattoo for it, so I don't forget.
Oh. Right.
That's right, Dub's next tattoo. Yeah. All of her kids' birthday is on her.
No. You know, I've got them right here. I don't need help.
I'm going to say, you got the scars to show for it. Yeah, literally.
That's right. And I don't need to consult them to remember the birth dates either.
Dubs is better than us, Charm. That's all.
But probably the last we see of De Bruyne as well.
Yeah, I know it is, right? These, and again, we've spoken about Modric and Ronaldo, but you know, at World Cup, certainly the De Bruyne's of the world. It's time. He had almost scored a goal actually yesterday.
He did.
And didn't get enough weight behind it.
No.
He's still a wonderful player, right? But there comes a time when to prolong club careers, you got to, I think, say farewell to your country, right? And it's probably time.
There's, you got to sign a contract in North America, Sharms, is what you got to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, there are a bevy of these dudes who are like last legging it and who will be in the MLS in the next year or two.
Well, Casemiro, is it confirmed now into Miami? If it's going to happen. Oh, if it's not confirmed, confirm it's happening.
And Tom Bogert talking about Mo Salah to Kansas City.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Lewandowski?
Yeah.
Lewandowski signed while we... Chicago?
Yeah.
Griezmann's there as well. And but he's 100, but he'll probably score 100 goals in 2 years, or 3 years anyway. He's going to score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Right, he's coming off a year where he scored, I think, over 30 in the season overall for Barcelona.
Yeah. So, Ibra was a goal a game in MLS.
Yeah. When you get the right fading superstar, they can still be a superstar in MLS, and it makes it fun.
Yeah.
More than Mario.
Playing against four blind defenders.
Is that where they have the bell in the ball?
No, the bell in the ball. The bell in the ball, and then the bell in the ball.
And the blandor.
Yeah. That's a new Disney film.
I won that prize in grade 8 dance, Bell in the Ball.
Didn't Max Grapo make the All-Star team?
He did. We were talking about it yesterday.
And was it good for Max? Good.
Yeah.
Good for Max. Made a lot of saves.
It just shows you, right, how he's made the All-Star game, conceding 3 goals a game, 10 shots on goal a game. They conceded, what, 44 goals already? Like, they're well and truly the worst defensive team in the league.
So Max goes to a new club. He wins Canada's number one jersey for a World Cup. He gets in the MLS All-Star team and is probably conceding more goals per game than he ever has in his entire career.
Yes.
It's a funny old game sometimes, isn't it?
It's a funny game.
Craig's coming out of retirement.
I know, with that defense. Whew. Actually, Craig, if you came out of retirement now, how many goals do you reckon you can see the game?
It depends who you're playing for.
I mean, you still know where to you still know where to be in goal. Your positioning would be brilliant. You got wisdom and guile. Perhaps the body isn't what it quite once was.
You'd
still do a job there, wouldn't you?
You know what? Sometimes I think I could. I would have to wear glasses.
They'd be really cool sports glasses.
Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
Edgar Davids.
Davids, yes.
He had glaucoma though, didn't he? That's why he wore them, I think. That's why he got he wasn't like, he looked amazing with the tinted shades on and the and the dreads. Looked amazing, right? But it wasn't just for image, it's because he had glaucoma.
Poor bugger.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would do that. I would have
player he was, eh?
I'd wear a wig as well.
Yeah, incredible.
A wig? Oh,
would you?
No, we'd get you over to Turkey. Footy Prime would foot the bill. We'd do a full documentary on that hair replacement. It would be like sensational. We'd sign up a sponsor. You flying over there? I mean, we'd be with you. We'd all hold hands.
Oh no, remember? We'd be part of it. We want. Everyone has something that they wouldn't mind having worked on. I don't know. I think we've done it before. What would you have worked on?
Ooh.
Realistically?
Extension.
Craig's going for hair extension. Oh, no. The extension.
You would do that over a hair transplant? Okay.
A fattening. Wow. He wants a penis fattening.
No, we had a whole show, remember, once upon a time.
We did.
To this,
we did.
So we'll dig it up. Rather than do that segment again now, we'll dig it up and find out.
Go back in the crates. Well,
that's what Forrest is talking about, his segment.
I don't think I have enough donor hair to do it.
Oh.
They'd have to take it from my ass cheeks.
Where you do? I've seen your back recently. You do need help there. No worries.
It would have to go better than Landon Donovan's. It has to be fair.
Really?
Right? If you look at the spectrum of successful hair transplants, his has got to be like worst case scenario, right? And everybody else is in between.
I think it's sad, but
it's not bad. I think the alternative is worse.
But did you see the in-between? Are we forgetting about the time where he was on TV and it looked like he had hair taped to the side of his head?
Well, that's in-between. What are you supposed to do?
But he got to be on TV. You don't have the foresight there.
I just don't know what's wrong with shaving your head. Landon Donovan's a good-looking guy, right? He could shave his head and look quite passable, look great. He doesn't need to do it. Same with you, Craig. You look good with bald head. You got a good head
for it. You do.
You don't need the Turkish extensions. Well, you need the extension, not the extensions. So apparently, not that I'd know. Anyway, we should get moving. England, Norway today, 5 p.m. Eastern. Did you hear about this? I know you did because we discussed it.
Okay, but before we do this, World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Tim Hortons. You're in the
game. It's game on with Tim's.
Oh, thanks.
JC's here. On his deck, apparently. It's also a gun show by the looks of things.
Yeah.
England, Norway. So you've heard about this, but we've got to talk about it. Harry Kane admitting that he did indeed golf with Donald Trump last year. Trump mentioned it in one of his rambling, weaving, God knows what they are. He mentioned how he golfed with Harry Kane. And Harry Kane's getting some strife for this. I don't understand why. Wouldn't you all accept that invitation? If any of you were invited to play golf with Donald Trump, you have to do it just out of curiosity.
No, hard pass.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. As much as I would say no, but I there would be some curiosity there. I would like to see if he actually really cheats.
Yeah. In the golf course, right? He's renowned for it, infamous for it.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
But Dubs, your disdain for the man, I think it's probably equal to all of our disdain, but mm-hmm. that would usurp any interest you might have to actually get up close and find out just what is this person all about for 18 holes.
I think curiosity would be there for sure. I don't think it would be an instantaneous decline, but I think ultimately I would say no, because one, moral ethics, I don't want to be aligned with that man on anything. And then optically, I think you have to think in this day and age of your own personal brand and then how that might possibly influence the teams that you're on based on the fact that you're associating with this man. So I think I would think about that and I would say, no, thank you.
Hmm. Yeah. No pitchers.
Yeah. 100% no pitchers. I'm just kind of curious as to how close is the man with the nuclear football to him at all times? Mm. Is he got his own golf cart? Is he sharing the golf cart with Donald Trump? Is he the caddy? Is the football, the nuclear football in the caddy's golf bag? Right?
I'd be interested. I'm kind of like you, Sharms. I'd be very curious because I know our Footy Prime has been touched by dementia and some aging issues. And I'd be interested in to see how much of that is like on the daily that they're not reporting. And I could come back and go, oh man. Like that's how I would see it as a exposition, an opportunity for exposition, and not as, oh, this is about going there to golf with him. And yes, I'd golf because I like golf, but it would be more of an opportunity for exposition and figuring things out and then sharing it. So kind of a reportage.
Telling everything you saw.
A tell-all.
I had
to introduce myself to him 7 times.
Yes.
During the 18 holes. He had no idea who I was.
Only because they keep all, like, it's not like Harry Kane under FIFA and the World Cup is going to come out and say anything negative right now, right? He's not going to tell you, but one of us schlubs, specifically me and you, Sharms, could do it easily. We don't have to worry about, oh, covering the World Cup or, you know, like Dubs and Craig do and their personal brand. I don't have a personal brand.
Well, I do kind of.
Actually, I do.
It's what I have.
It's a shit show, my personal brand.
I've got a career still in media, you know?
Yeah, but people would appreciate that. They'd appreciate that from you.
They would, yes. I'd be more than happy to divulge the inner secrets of my meeting with Trump. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. It'd be a nice golf course, though, right? It wouldn't be like Dentonia, would it? It'd be a nice golf course, I bet you. So for that alone, you golf heads like Craig, there's no doubt. You do it just for the golf, Craig, you liar.
Yeah,
I never turned down a round of golf.
That's what it boils down to.
Talk about the Islamic State of Japan.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, the Gordie Howe Bridge has now been passed, apparently. So they're doing that now. So that's kind of a Canadian kind of angle you could squeeze in there somehow as well. But I don't know. We discussed before, you know, perfect dinner mates, right? But I think I would never turn down the chance to have a dinner with the most awful humans in mankind. Just out of pure fascination. You put a Hitler there. You put a Vlad the Impaler. You put, Julia Childs. You put a Donald Trump there. You know, these awful human beings. Surely you want to have dinner. At least have an appetizer with him. Trump would be boring, wouldn't he? I think he'd just be he'd be a bore at the dinner, wouldn't he?
Well, that's what I've heard. I mean, that's what a lot of people say. He's a boring man because he's...
Or about himself.
Yeah, he talks about himself a lot.
Yeah. Adolf Hitler wouldn't be boring. I mean,
well, here's the thing. I came up with a concept of an animated show, and it was all the kids of like notorious, like Bob Mussolini going to school. Like they all share a residence room. Pol Pot's son, Hitler's son. Like they all hang out together. Pol Pot, yeah.
Yeah, Bob. Son's name's Bob.
Oh, Bob Pot. Yeah. I thought his name was Hot.
That's what his wife calls him. Hey, Hot. Yeah.
But they're trying to navigate. You're so hot.
Hey, who's my Hot Pot tonight?
You're trying to navigate university, and you're at first year university, and you have all these bad surnames, but you're basically like, hey, you know, we want to go under the radar of being these people. So anyways.
Yeah. Sorry. That's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Oh, thank you.
Pol Pot's son and then Hot Pot.
Get to the football, shall we?
Yeah. Sorry. Can you take over, Dubs?
No, you go on.
Okay. We were talking England.
Yeah. Harry Kane, did you hear that he golfed with Trump?
He screwed England now. They're not winning. Yeah.
Well, that's...
exactly. All right, who would you rather have up front, Harry Kane or Erling Haaland? Craig, go.
I don't know. You got two pretty good players there.
You got a choice.
You had a choice?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What an awful situation you put me in.
Oh yeah, way worse than golfing with Trump. Really?
Way worse. Now you're struggling, eh? Okay.
Well, one had free golf. One had a free round of golf thrown in.
Yeah. Oh my
it's
god.
Happening.
That's a difficult one. Mm-hmm. I think they both suit their own teams very well. I think that Kane's perfect for England and Haaland's perfect for the Netherlands. Holland.
No way. Yeah. It'd be easier if he played for Holland,
same
wouldn't
general
it?
Yeah. Region of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a part of the Netherlands. Holland.
That's true. Yeah. Exactly.
Your refusal to answer the question for us is like that Norwegian fan that refuses to row.
Oh. Yeah. Emil Happen, he's called. Emil Happen. You must really appreciate it, Dubs. Someone being that pedantic. Because you know why? He said it. I saw it. He's got an interview out there. Check it out. And he says basically, we didn't row over there. We sailed over there. Therefore, I shall not row. What a pedant. I thought you straight away when I heard that.
I shall not row. It's like Jerry Seinfeld.
He did the interview, that guy, in his place, and he's got two freaking oars behind him.
Yeah, in his background. So funny.
He literally has two oars. Like, He's a rower.
So is Donald Trump, by the way. Two whores behind him.
We are completely off the rails right now.
It was a Saturday. You don't do too many Saturday shows, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry. Yes, Craig, they're both good players, their teams. Thanks for the insight. Okay, Dubs, who would you rather have?
Oh, my goodness. I think Forrest does make a good point that they're really well-suited for the type of football that each of the teams do play. Kane, though, has proven that even when he doesn't get the service, because you look at Harry Kane, and he's not just the number nine that's going to be devastating in the box. He's also, you know, drops deep. He links up. He's a really important part of the build-up play, whereas Haaland can just not get the service. And then, you know, you watch that slow-mo, the one that I talked about a couple shows ago. It's not even a slow-mo, but it's just the cameras on him walking around. Looks like he's on the training pitch. Nothing's happening. And then he climbs over Gabriel and for the header for the first of his two is brace versus Brazil. So he does it. He shows up in big games and he's scoring at a rate that I think we've never seen before, whether you're talking about club football, Premier League, or international football. Like, he got to 60 goals before the likes of Messi, Ronaldo, and Pele. Right. So, I mean, Erling Haaland, I think, is this modern era behemoth that is athletic, that is clinical, that is technical, that can beat you in a myriad of ways. But Harry Kane is your classic kind of footballer, your dad or your mom's number nine, but also has figured out a way to exist and thrive in the modern game. And his second goal versus Dr. Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, where he twists his body around and he contorts it, like staves off, pushes off three defenders and thrashes the ball into the net. Like, Harry Kane is able to deliver those types of finishes as well, in addition to the headers, in addition to being a really big part of the way that the team plays. So if push came to shove, I think it'd be very difficult to choose. But I think given how complete his game has become and how he seems to defy kind of, you know, father time, grasping at his ankles, trying to pull him back, but he seems to get better and better the longer he continues to play, I think I might choose Harry Kane.
Mm-hmm. Both of them score goals no matter where they are. They've proven that. I mean, Haaland at Borussia Dortmund is
all right.
Lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Kane at Spurs, a team that struggled to finish in the top six sometimes, still scored goals. So you put them in Bayern Munich where they're going to possess the ball for massive amounts of games or of the game, and then he's putting the chances that he's going to get equals even more goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it matters where he's at or Haaland's at. They're going to score goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Haaland, who was it, Jamie Carragher, was saying he's gonna score 1,000 goals when it's all said and done, right? And Ronaldo's chasing the 1,000th goal right now. He's 41.
976, I think he's at.
Yeah, Ronaldo. Well, I think Barbara or somebody, I wish I had her name or username here, I think on one of our YouTube posts said, well, this is a perfect opportunity for Ronaldo to join MLS and get those 24 goals that he needs.
Valid point, right? Doesn't need to do it in European championships for Portugal, does he?
No, it's not. Yeah, because we're not talking about international goals. We're just talking about total output.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And he still do that, you know, Al Nassr.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I mean, you're padding your stats even more so in Saudi Arabia, I think, arguably, than you would be in MLS. So maybe he just stays put.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
400 million reasons why.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. But so what do you make of this game, though? Norway, nothing to lose. I guess they've had a really successful World Cup anyway. Any neutral is probably at this point, well, rooting for them and Switzerland. But because Haaland's kind of taken over this World Cup, I think a lot of people want to see Norway go further because he's just so much fun to watch, which I get. But England are the favorites. I'll pull up the MGM odds here as to what they're actually looking at right now. But it would be a shock, I think, for Norway to beat England, but perhaps not a massive shock, Dubs. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it is fair to say, but this is a team that has just grown in this tournament. I think a lot of people thought Haaland definitely would be competing for the Golden Boot, but it would be dependent upon how deep a run Norway would make in the tournament. And now I think they've proven that they're a really maybe deep squad is maybe a little bit of a stretch, because I think that you look at England and up and down that roster, I think they have the advantage, but there are some key injuries to England as well. But going back to Norway, I think they've figured out how to make the most of a guy up top who has got a clinical edge over anybody in the world, even though I just said I'd choose Kane over Haaland. But I mean, you're in the game if you can keep things tight, and they've shown that defensively. You know, they're a team that can compete with the likes of Brazil. You can have menace on the wings. They're able to cope with it, and they're able to withstand the threat. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with England and that back line. Did they make any adjustments just to cope with Haaland and the threat and the menace, and you know what he's going to throw at you and how he can hit you at any time in the match if you just switch off for an instant. So I know that Gahey's in doubt. You know, Stones hasn't started aside from that first game. And then I think you got Konsa in there as well. Right?
Yep. Konsa is suspended, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's out for two games.
Yeah, Konsa is, but who's the other center back?
Oh, so you got
Konsa. Yeah, sorry. There's talk that he might be moved over to the right back position, where obviously Tuchel has got selection headaches there with the injury as well to Reece James, right? And so healthy, like he's made of sugar, you put him in and you expect him to do 90 minutes versus Norway, that's going to end very, very badly. So the talk is that Konsa might shift over to that right back position, and then maybe you go with Stones. Is Gahey fit to go, or is Big Dan Byrne called upon to come in there? And he's the answer, much to my chagrin here, because it's confirming Jimmy's shout a couple of podcasts ago, and you and me, Sharms, were kind of like, no, he's not going to start. But given the issues with depth that they have and current injuries, it's looking very likely that he might start, and he's the answer for England to try to stop Erling Haaland. But Norway, they've shown that they are more than just, you know, the big Viking up top.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I'm just trying to find my.
No, it's okay, because I was going to mention Stone's hair. Stone's got some good hair, and he reminds me of that he should have been in a new wave band in the early 80s. Singing like Spando Ballet.
Playing keyboards.
Yes. Yes. Mm. With a thin black tie. Like one of those thin black ties.
Basically one of the FIFA suits.
Yes.
But I just, while you're still looking there, Sharm, so like we look at Group I, which was arguably, like, if there was a group of death, that was probably this group. Stolle, Solbakken inside. They opened the tournament with a 4-1 win versus Iraq. Then Haaland got a brace in a 3-2 defeat of Senegal. And then he had the foresight. And it was calculated, but it paid off, I think, given what they did versus Brazil. They'd already qualified for knockouts, so he rested 10 players. And they were thumped by France 4-1, but they didn't care because they're projecting forward. They beat the Ivory Coast 2-1 in the round of 32. And remember, they have other options up top, not the likes of Haaland, but you remember the worldie that Nusa scored?
Oh, yeah, he's so good. Isn't he?
Like, that was a gorgeous, gorgeous goal.
No one talks about Nusa, but they should, because he's such a threat.
And that's part of, I think, the narrative is you're so worried about controlling and keeping Haaland in check that you forget that there are other players that can do damage if you're Norway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Odegaard guy is pretty good as well. It seems to me that they match up well in that, you know, England are used to, the style of football is quite similar. From where a lot of these players are playing, because a lot of them play in England, for example, right? So I'm still gathering my numbers here from BetMGM. I had to re-upload the app, actually. So my phone was dying. That's why I'm kind of panicking here, but just bear with me here. Keep talking about this game.
Well, Craig, what are you looking at right now?
Just looking at Norway's projected lineup.
And?
Oh, they got threats for sure. Yeah, Sorloth, Nusa, Haaland. Sorloth had a good season at Atletico Madrid.
How about this for an in-game parlay? This is kind of tasty. Today's action, actually, including the Argentina game. So for England to be leading at the half, combined with Harry Kane scoring at any time today, combined with Argentina leading at the half, and Leo Messi scoring at any time, that pays plus 1,195. So $5 wins you $65. That's kind of tasty, you know. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Make it legendary.
Make it legendary, BetMGM. I'm putting a fiver down on that.
He's changed, eh, Craig? Remember when you couldn't get 35 cents off of him on a bet?
Yeah.
Now he's throwing a fin down.
Exactly. His max was like 50 cents for years.
No, it was $2 was the longest time for years and years. And I built it up and built it up to about $100
Inflation.
England are the minus 105 favorites, though. You can get Norway to win at plus 260. So if you are a Norwegian and Haaland fan, why not? What's Haaland paying? Haaland's paying anytime goal scorer. Plus 110, right? So you're making money.
Are we saying that England is favored and we all think England's going to win? What are we talking? What are we doing here?
I think England's going to win 3-1.
Okay. Nice. That's what I want to hear. W?
You want to hear that because it's a prediction, or you want to hear it because you also think that England will win?
Well, I want a prediction.
You want a prediction. I think it's going to be tighter than that. I think England 2-1.
Schmarms?
England. It's going to be tight because it's always tight for England. They don't do it the easy way, do they? So I'm going to go 1. No, because I can't rule out Haaland getting 1. 2-1. I like 2-1 as well, actually.
Okay. And I'm wondering, England is now your team because Canada's out. Were you as nervous? We didn't talk about this. Were you as nervous against the Mexico match as you were when Canada played, or when you knew Canada was out?
Yeah, no, I was. I thought it's funny the way it was working the World Cup so far. When England was playing games, was generally speaking when Canada was having their training or a press conference. So I didn't get a chance to sit down and actually watch England live, which removed some of that pressure. But the Mexico game, I was, like I said, I hated every second of it. It was so unenjoyable, apart from that minute 30 when they're up 2-0 and when Kane got the last goal. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't enjoy it. I had sweaty palms. I was anxious. I was pacing up and down. I didn't enjoy it one bit. So yes, my angst and love for England is back, for sure. And it may have always been there. It's just I was Canada kind of took over. Dominated the World Cup for the first 3 weeks.
I would hate to have dated you. You'd get...
That's the reason.
Yeah.
I'm also very cheap.
Spends his money on gambling.
I'm a degenerate gambler now. I'm a terrible date. Always on my phone looking at the BetMGM app. Where can I sprinkle some money on now?
Let's talk Argentina, brother.
Yeah, Argentina against Switzerland.
Oh, we're moving on already. Okay.
Well, did you want to say more?
Jump in.
No,
more.
I just had some questions more so for Sharm because we haven't really heard him. I mean, talk about England. I mean, but we look at the match versus Mexico. They're forced to adapt because they go down a player, and Kwanzaa got a 2-match ban. Right. We didn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
But it was almost like 3 matches in 1, where you saw that. Like tactically, Tuchel wanted them to control the match. They were composed in possession. And then they were like the second part or the second act was devastating in transition. And you saw Jude Bellingham be really, really lethal going against the ball. And then obviously it was shutting it down. Some substitutions were made. Back five, big Dan Burn in the middle, just heading away all the crosses because Mexico seemed to run out of ideas. So what type of approach do you think Tuchel takes versus a Norway that has shown themselves to be tactically adept, where depending on the opponent, they're maybe changing things a little bit? Like you've seen triangulation, you've seen them go down the flanks. And I think that Tuchel made the right decision, Sharms, in the wingers that he chose last game. Right. With Saka and with Gordon. I think Gordon's been outstanding for England. So they also have to cope Norway with their front four if they're looking at what England's throwing at them. So what approach do you think Tuchel takes?
Yeah, because, I mean, Seca's healthy. He starts regardless because he is always going to be the starter over Madueke, who started the World Cup because of Saka's injuries. So I see him retain that spot. Rashford is more of an inverted type player, isn't he? He can cut inside more. One thing about Norway is, as good as Haaland is, he does need service.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't overload trying to worry about him, but you just cut out the service to him, in which case you're going to really miss not having Reece James out there, even Kwanzaa, because Jed Spence, exciting player, not great defensively. Right?
But he also didn't look great when he was a late substitution, wasn't meant to be available, and he plays, but he looked like something was still kind of nagging at him, like he had a little knock that he was carrying.
So what's the alternative? If he's out, I just don't know what they do at right back.
Well, we've seen Declan Rice deployed there.
I know.
They need him in a midfield.
Have to have him in midfield, right?
And did you see he was also isolated from the team with some sort of virus?
Yeah, stomach bug, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Michigan diarrhea went down.
Yeah. Miami diarrhea, isn't it?
No, there's a big outbreak of a bug in Michigan right now.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, okay. Virulent 1,200 people have very crazy diarrhea. It's been on all over the papers. Yeah,
well, they're all English fans, so I guarantee you that much. Because they give you diarrhea watching this. It's never easy. But so I don't
it's
know.
Gonna just, be, it's going to be hot down in Miami too.
They're in, they're Miami. It's Miami, isn't it? They're playing.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
it's going to be hot. 33
Yeah,
degrees.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the tactical guru here. I mean, just to kind of prevent the channels of feeding Haaland is going to be key. But isn't that easy? Because they've got that creativity. I think Nusa's a guy that could benefit hugely in this game by too much being thrown at Haaland and worrying about him. But like I said, they know this player really well. So does Tuchel. He knows him really well as well. He's coached against him.
Yeah, and I think it was one of our footy primers mentioned the fact that Big Dan Byrne in 8 games played versus Haaland in the Prem for Newcastle, right? Byrne? Yep. That Haaland had only scored one time.
Mm-hmm. Plays him
I think
well.
That was Scott Thompson.
Yeah, Flash. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Just playing him physically man for man with Dan Byrne is still dangerous because he's so quick.
Quick. Deceiving.
Yeah. You seen that video of him running up the hill? Training in the offseason? Oh, my God.
I don't know where he is. He's a somewhere. Beast, isn't he?
He's a beast. Yeah, he's powering up this hill. And he's just like a freight train.
Yeah.
Oh, I love all the Haaland memes, all the the stuff where he's delighting the mascots in a tunnel and he's saying hi to them. And listen, there are other footballers who are also decent human beings, but Haaland seems to be a guy who's relatively unaffected by his fame. And he continues to just be a good dude.
Yeah. See that video of Bellingham and Haaland when they're both at Dortmund together?
Yeah.
It's a great video. Yeah. Besties. Great old time. Yeah.
Jude Bellingham is a specimen too. My God.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he was as like had such stature because Haaland's what 6'4"-ish, and Jude Bellingham's at least 6'2".
I think. Yeah,
6'2", 6'3". Because he wasn't being dwarfed. You know, when I stand next to Craig, there's
Charms just got excited when you said dwarfed.
But when I stand next to Craig, there's an obvious difference in height. You don't see that as much with Bellingham and Haaland, and I was surprised.
Yeah. He's in the same postal district as Haaland,
yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Did you see this one?
What's this? Haaland got a reflection on the other guy.
Haaland Oates.
Haaland Oates.
Haaland Oates.
That's great.
And it's, Erling Haaland dressed up as musical. Group there's duo one with sensation his, Hall and Oates.
There's one with his there's videos out there, and apparently it says it's his sister doing Haaland impressions, but it turns out it's not his sister, I don't think, and it may be AI, which is terrifying, right? Well, but it's so funny. It's a girl doing the Haaland impressions. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have seen that. And there's also, I think I mentioned it last pod, where there's a girl and my algorithm keeps feeding it to me, right? We're talking about feeding Haaland. Well, we know that's raw milk and meat, right? But like my algorithm keeps feeding me this girl who does hair tutorials on Instagram, which like I'm not into clearly, but she looks exactly like Erling. Well, exactly is maybe a stretch. There's a striking resemblance to Erling Haaland. And she was already hitting, like she has, she's one of these influencers in a way of hair and all that sort of stuff. So she's at like, say 500,000 followers, which isn't nothing, right? But then all of her posts, since somebody likened her to Erling Haaland, and then he commented on one of her posts, all of her posts now are like a million and higher because Haaland is involved. And now soccer fans are flocking to her page to see the resemblance. It's crazy.
It is crazy. That you know, that Paddy Power one, I think Craig sent it to us with Graham Souness and Gordon Strachan.
Yeah.
And Charlie Nicholas. Andy McCoist. Yeah, McCoist too. So I think that's also AI though, right?
I don't know if it was AI.
I don't think it was AI either. I think it's all this Paddy Power, and especially since Scotland got eliminated, it's like doubling down on supporting whoever England is playing.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. I love it too.
I love the Mexican one, and then they throw the Norwegian one in there as well. It's like,
yeah,
they do some great stuff. Paddy Power, got it.
Yeah, they do, and like I know too, like because JP's mom and dad are Glaswegian, and then he still has family, like his great aunts and his uncle, are huge Celtic fans and still live in Glasgow. So we get pictures like what was part of I think that Paddy Power post or like whatever they pushed out in advance of Mexico facing England at the Azteca is like all of the statues and like significant like landmarks, and they were putting Mexico jerseys on them. Like they are sending that stuff home like to us. So we're seeing it there, and then we're also seeing it on socials. So I don't think it's AI either.
I know, but the Paddy Power one with those ex-Scottish internationals, I mean, there's no way they act that well.
You don't think so?
There's no chance. No chance. I think they just got signed off. Can we use your image and use AI to create this? I bet you that's what it is.
Really? I think you're underestimating Scots.
Unlike the World Cup teams they face.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant, yeah. Regardless, as is AI, our newfound masters. Brilliant. Argentina. Remember we didn't talk about them? Unless you got something else to get to.
No, we got 8 minutes left.
Sorry. No. Go on.
Argentina, Switzerland. Can the Swiss stun Argentina?
Wait. We got to introduce Argentina properly. The 2026 World Cup champions.
Yes. according to Gianni Infantino. Again, another brilliant AI video. Have you seen the one of him in
there? No.
Oh, really? It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Basically, him and Messi going on various romantic dates.
Yeah.
And Gianni just, you know, explaining what he's done for him.
Yeah. We've set it up properly for you.
I give you the semi-final. I give you this. It's disturbing as hell. It really is. But, I mean, have we seen enough frailties, Dubs, in Argentina to think that Switzerland can get a result here?
Yes. I think that we have. I don't know if you'd like to expect a result from Switzerland, but it's not going to be, you know, a team that they're just going to roll over. I think teams have figured out, you know, that Argentina really have only one solution going forward, and it's finding Messi centrally. And he didn't even really have a great game, let's be honest, last match, right? But then it's the brilliance that he's able to lend when it counts and contribute that way. And I've seen so many replays of that second goal. Obviously his pass, his assist is brilliant on the first goal, but then the second one, so many other players would have skied it, but his technique to step into it, to be in the right area and then to bury it under the bar, that's just what he does, right? Mm-hmm. He's able to continually show up and just find the right areas so that he can hurt you. But I think they're predictable. I wouldn't call them pedestrian in the way that they attack, because obviously they've got Julian Alvarez, they've got Enzo Fernandez, like they have other threats going forward. But their solution and what they seek to do time and time again is to just find Messi in central areas. So if Switzerland are somehow able to control that and to push them and keep them peripheral and keep the pressure on the ball really tight and stay, you know, the sit in their shape a little bit and then go the other way, I think Switzerland also have the ability to hurt you, but I think they have to be aggressive in the way that they approach the match.
Yeah, I think if they kind of play Switzerland a little bit like Egypt did, hit them on a counter, they got some pace up top. Egypt created a lot of chances. I think they can certainly be dangerous, and Argentina are susceptible to conceding goals. So it might be a little closer than we would have thought, but you never know.
I mean, obviously. They're missing Manzambi, though, right? Manzambi's probably out, the knee injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big loss because he's the X factor that they don't have otherwise. And he's been this breakout star at this World Cup, I think it's probably fair to say, one of the breakout stars. Mm-hmm. So on that counterattack, they haven't got him. Which I don't know. I just think there's too much guile in that Argentine side. Like you mentioned, against Egypt, they came close. Cape Verde pushed them close too, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't had a great World Cup so far as consistency.
Yeah. Well, they had their problems in 22 as well. They managed to grind it out. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They brought in what McAllister came in, I think, midway through the group phase. And, I think someone else. I forget who it was now. And they changed formation and everything clicked.
Mm.
And they found it, right? Messi had that look of the eye of the tiger, though, last game, didn't he?
Mm.
It's like he's not going to allow that to happen again. There's probably no one else in the world you can say that about. And just look in his eyes and post-match what it meant to him to get through that Egypt match.
Yeah. I think he thought he was out.
Yeah.
Well, he's a survivor, eh? Because of Eye of the Tiger. God.
Oh.
Sorry. It's like, oh.
Are you three dumbstruck? And I'm going to lean into the dumb.
No, but I think what makes them, you know, not unbeatable, because I think they've shown that they're fallible, but what makes them formidable is not only Messi, but the fact is like the grand intangible that they're never really out of a match, and the sense of belief that imbues in the squad. And the fact that they're going to do it for Messi, right? Like, I mean, I don't think you can discount that. But then the flip side of that is the emotional energy and like the psychological wear and tear that this team has suffered just to get past Cabo Verde and then to get past Egypt to now face Switzerland, who aren't going to give you very much, right? We saw that versus Colombia, and we know that Argentina is a different animal than Colombia, but they have their fair share of menace as well. And Switzerland were able to control that. So the longer this thing goes, I think it might favor the neutrals and Switzerland in this match. But do they have enough without Manzambi and that threat and the athleticism and, you know, the just a little bit of potency going the other way, a little bit of danger? I mean, there's still Vargas, I think, right? Is Embolo able to go?
Embolo. Yeah.
So. I saw that he'd picked up a yellow. Okay. So he's still good. Because it's only the second period of amnesty is just post the quarters. So I thought that maybe he was in danger of missing. But if it's just Manzambi, I mean, I say just Manzambi, he's one of the breakout stars of this World Cup. But if the longer they're able to keep this level, I think it might slightly favor Switzerland.
Wow. Favor Switzerland at that level. I love it. Do you want to see Switzerland in the World Cup semifinals?
Yes.
Why not?
Norway, Switzerland in one half of the bracket.
That'd be interesting, right?
Yeah. Just like yesterday, I wanted to see Belgium beat Spain.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately the tournament is probably better for it. The fact that Spain goes through, because I think they've shown their quality and they've shown why they deserve to be there. But I always want to see the upset. I really do.
Yeah, but there's no, and call me shallow here, but I like to see superstars too, or at least stars. Mm. Switzerland hasn't got any superstars.
Well,
Granit Xhaka, you could argue, is a superstar.
Is he a superstar?
Not really? Anymore. Not anymore. Come on.
Even in his Arsenal heyday, was he a superstar? He was a hardworking, tenacious, respected, physical, workman-like central midfielder. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just describing Amy Walsh. Jesus
So
Christ.
Why would I not see him as a superstar? There we go.
Now it all makes complete sense.
It's the way you define it, Sharms.
Granit Xhaka, the Amy Walsh of men's football.
God, I should be so lucky. That's what he is. I'll take it.
We only have a little bit time left, so I'm just going to throw a couple of different comments in. One of them was from our conversation about the word gallantry. from 600F4, Charmin letting England down by being taught English by North Americans.
I still stand by my gallant being patronizing and condescending.
You really shouldn't. And then your amazing mime story of your friend getting beat up by a mime, and our friend Kevin at Kevin Adian. I knew a guy who was beat up by a mime. He doesn't talk about it.
That is so good.
Well done.
Yeah.
We welcome all the comments and all the platforms where you find us. Please. We had a big segment today planned for comments and some questions, which we didn't get to because we were too busy talking about
Harry Kane have and with. Trump golfing.
Yeah. Apparently. But listen, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave comments. We'll be back Monday, right? Off tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hey,
first day off, but we might do a drop. So if you are listening from the podcast point of view, there might be some more content to listen to.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Legendary.
All right, it's Footy Prime. Till next time, everyone. Cheers very much for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Fun show.
Content.
Talk for,
I don't know.
We always
58
do.
Minutes.
Great. Without getting to any of the fillers we have prepared.
No.
Nothing. Nothing. Thank God we don't promo in our show.
That's why I don't do it, because you just don't get the shit.
I know. It could be argued that much of our content today was filler anyway.
So shit.